Let us turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and begin at verse 18. Where Paul writes, "If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." So that's why we sang Psalm 120. "I am for peace, but they are for war." Well, that's what we should be, for peace. Says Paul. Or we should be, in the terms of today's message, agreeable people. Agreeable people. Because we're coming to the series again that we're looking at personality in. We're thinking about human personality. We're thinking about how that relates to our spirituality, to being Christians. And we're using what many, many people who study these things, and believe me, there are millions of people in the world studying psychology and whatnot, and thinking about personality every day. And they have a kind of broad consensus on what they call the big five personality traits, and they use the mnemonic OCEAN, or the acronym OCEAN, to remember them. So we've already looked at three. The O was for openness, the C was for conscientiousness, and the E was for extroversion. The A is for agreeableness. So we're going to think about agreeableness this morning. Are you feeling agreeable this morning? Are you agreeable to that? This week I had one of those pestilential unwanted telephone calls. In fact, we get a lot of them at the moment for some reason. And the gentleman at the other end took a slightly different tack to usual, and he said, "I'm from an advisory service." He did name it, but I can't remember what it was. "I'm from some kind of advisory service. How are you today, mate?" And, you know, I sort of coldly answered, "I'm fine." We had a short conversation, the gist of which was, "Would you please go away?" And at the end of the conversation, he said, "No problem, pal." And we hung up. And I thought to myself that I really wanted to shout at him and say, "I'm not your mate, and I'm not your pal." I wasn't feeling at all agreeable at that particular point. And by the looks of things, you can probably identify with that. And yet, at the same time, you come off the phone thinking, well, even if the guy at the other end is a crook, which most of these people are, trying to get money out of you, trying to steal money from you, still a human being who needs Jesus Christ. And my response should always reflect that. So we don't always feel as agreeable as we'd like to. But being agreeable is, I think you will agree, a very desirable personality trait. Sometimes it is my duty to stand here and conduct funerals. And along with the family, generally I will have prepared a tribute to the person who's died. And people like to be able to say nice things about the departed. They want to be able to say things like this: "He always had time for others. He was always willing to help. He had a good word for everyone, a wide circle of friends, and no one had a bad word about him." Now, if you're really able to say that about someone truthfully, then that someone was agreeable in the terms that psychiatrists and psychologists rather use the word agreeable. If you want, on the other hand, to look at Romans 12 You can find agreeableness there, certainly. If we start, for example, at verse 10. If you're someone who is devoted to others, if you're someone who puts others first, honours others above yourself, if you're someone who, verse 13, likes to help those who are in need and practices hospitality, if you're someone who likes to respond in a positive way to people who are being negative towards you, to bless those who curse, verse 14, if you're someone who empathizes, verse 15, rejoices with those who rejoice and mourns with those who mourn, if you're someone, as verse 16 says, who is able to live in harmony with others and to associate with people, whatever their position in society, and verse 17, who doesn't repay evil with evil, and verse 18, lives at peace with others, then you are agreeable. You're an agreeable person. Is that you? Are you warm, sympathetic, considerate, cooperative? I heard a yes. Are you interested in other people? Do you have time for them? Do you make them feel at ease? Are you able to empathize with other people and comfort them when needed? Do you like finding good in other people? Do you get on with just about everyone, especially children? And do you always try and avoid conflict and readily forgive when people wrong you? Because if that's you, you are a classically agreeable person. And when the time comes for your departure, if people around you know a good thing, then you can look forward to being eulogized from this pulpit, and to your funeral being very well attended. Because it's a popular trait, agreeableness. And there are people certainly here who are gifted with that. Just as there are people out in our community who are gifted with that trait of agreeableness. It's a great blessing to have that personality. Let's think about it though. First thing I want to notice is you don't have to be a Christian to be agreeable. Because remember, what we're seeing is these are personality traits. They're inborn. They're traits that people naturally possess. People who are agreeable in personality are wired in that way. They're wired to get on with other people and to see the best in them, to have many friends and to be widely appreciated. They'd rather be wronged than have an unpleasant confrontation with someone. At the same time, they're probably destined not to earn as much as other people, because they don't have the ability to manage or manipulate people. They're too nice for that, so they're easily taken advantage of. But when it comes to verse 18, it's second nature. As far as it depends on them, they live at peace with everyone. But you don't have to be a Christian to do that. Now, it may be some of you just now are feeling quite good about yourselves. You think, well, actually, that's me. I don't mean that's me, because I'm not particularly agreeable. But you may be saying to yourself, yeah, that sounds quite like me. But just notice that it doesn't make you a Christian. It's how you were born. And Jesus would still say to us, you must be born again. I know sometimes that people, and they say it to me, they say, you know, I see these people and they come to the Lord's table and I'm a better person than most of them. I'm kinder, I'm nicer, more charitable, got a better temperament. But that doesn't make you a Christian. There are nice Buddhists, there are nice Muslims, there are nice atheists, who also were born agreeable. The challenge for the Christian is, whatever personality we have, is to rise beyond just what we have by nature, and to become something which we could only become with the help of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, what do you do more than others? You love your friends? Sinners do that, says Jesus. Do you love your enemies? You know, that's the kind of thing that Jesus wants us to do. Be kinder, more agreeable, more loving, more harmonious, more generous, more charitable, more forgiving than those who are not Christians. If then we are agreeable by nature, we need to go beyond that. We need to develop what we would call character. And I'll come back to character in a couple of minutes. But you may be sitting in the pew this morning thinking to yourself, actually, that's not really me. I'm not really like that. Because just as some people are born with a naturally agreeable personality, some people are born with a naturally disagreeable personality. What if, for example, you find it quite easy to be entirely emotionally detached from people? If you find it easy to approach relationships in an analytical sort of way, you find it easy to judge people, to be critical of people. What if you find it natural to question people's motives when they're being nice? What if, for example, you look at the Syrian refugees, and instead of empathizing and feeling their misery, you question their motives, and you say, well, who are these people, you know, trying to, you know, are they just really trying to use the situation so they can get themselves into a better economic situation? What if you think like that? What if you don't really mind rubbing up people the wrong way or manipulating them for your own ends? And what if actually holding grudges comes quite easily? And if you're happy to be in conflict with other people if you think you're right? Many people are born like that. You can see that. They tend to be the people that kind of climb over other people to get to where they want to get to. I don't know why Donald Trump came to mind. And Katie Hopkins, remember her from The Apprentice? People who seem to almost deliberately go out of their way to insult other people, to aggravate other people, but who all at the same time seem to have an ability to get their way, and as a result to make a lot of money. There are many, many people like that, maybe not spectacular examples, but who still don't find being agreeable the thing that comes naturally, but rather find being analytic about the relationships and using other people for whatever purpose they see fit. What if you're a Christian like that? Well, you find that you become a Christian, but then you think, well, actually, my personality is pretty abrasive, clinical, detached. And you look around and you see people who actually are brilliant at, for example, verse 13, practicing hospitality, for example. They're great at living at peace with other people, and you aren't. But these people who are great at hospitality and harmony and forgiving and all the rest of it might not even be Christians. They just happen to have a great personality, an agreeable personality. And you say to yourself, I wish I had their character. They're more Christian than I am. Like me on the phone earlier this week. And it troubles you. And it can trouble some Christians very much. And that they look around and they see even people who have no interest at all in Jesus or in the church, and yet are just lovely people. They're good neighbours, and they're helpful, and they're kind, and they're generous with their time. And you as a Christian might not feel like that. It might not be something that comes easily at all. Well, that is the reality of personality types. That is the reality of your genetic inheritance. The way that you actually began life has a huge bearing on the kind of person you turn out to be, like the genes that you had. We all know that, any of us who have been parents and have had more than one child, you know, I remember discovering it very forcibly. You know, when we had Kenny and he was one kind of child, and then we had Ali and he was an entirely different proposition. And then we had Bridget, and again, she was completely different. Even from the very word go, they had personality. It was a given. And if you're a given, it makes you feel, I'm really not that nice a person. It troubles you when people around you who are not even Christians may be far nicer than you are. And this is a fact of life we have to live with, that some people find some commands really easy. I mean, there are some people who'll find verse 18 a cinch. They live at peace with everyone by nature. That's what they're like. Someone else who is a Christian may look at that and say, I really struggle with that because I keep getting irritated by other people. I keep expressing that irritation to other people. But we need to watch that we don't get discouraged on the one hand, or on the other hand, think too much of ourselves. If we find we read through this part of Romans 12 and thought, well, actually, I'm not too bad at these things. I'm quite good at living at harmony with others, and I'm quite good at hospitality, and you know, I like people, and I'm kind to people, and I'm quite good at forgiving, and I don't like revenge. I like to try and avoid conflict. If you're someone like that, don't make yourself, for that reason, think that you're a Christian just because you're kind or just because you're agreeable. You'd be a better person if you did become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, but you're still a very nice person, you'd be an even better person if you started following Jesus. Don't make the mistake of thinking you don't need to follow Jesus just because you're nice. You still need your sins forgiven by Jesus, even if you've not got so many as some of the other people around you. But it is a sin to be self-righteous as well. It is a sin to think, actually, I'm not too bad, and I'm better than half of these so-called Christians. That's a sin too. You need to follow Jesus. And if you're already halfway there because you've got a nice personality, just think what Jesus could do with that personality. So that brings us on to character. Because character is different to personality. Certainly the way I'm using it here, personality is something you're born with. And, you know, obviously it develops as you grow up, matures, but it's to do with the way your brain is made and the way your body chemistry is and your genes. Character, on the other hand, is to do with rationality. It's to do with you changing the way you live by changing the way you think. It's something you choose. It's something you choose to develop. So Christian character is where you respond to the love of God in Christ by seeking to be more loving, thankful, to serve. You respond to Jesus' example and his inspiration by seeking to change and follow that example. You respond to the challenges you get out of the Bible when you read it by seeking to shape your life according to its teaching. Character is something that is determined by a response to, in Christian terms, to Jesus. And so Paul speaks about it in verse 2, for example. He says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't just be like everyone else. Even if you're an agreeable, nice person, don't just be like every other agreeable, nice person. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're transformed in the way you live by being transformed in the way you think, first of all. The way you think is changed so that you behave rationally, not just according to your instinct, not just according to what comes naturally to you. You behave rationally. So even if it comes naturally to you to be disagreeable, you've got a higher level in your mind that is conditioned by Jesus, his life, his love, his sacrifice, his forgiveness, so that you still respond in an agreeable way. So let's take an example. Take verse 13. Practice hospitality. What you don't do as a Christian is, if you're someone that says, well, actually, I am a hospitable person, I've got a hospitable home, you don't say as a Christian, I've got verse 13 in the bag. I've got that one, I've sorted that one, I'm good at hospitality. What you say instead is, you say, well, I'm already hospitable, that's my personality, I've got that nature, that's great, but now that I'm a Christian, I will seek to be even more hospitable. And for Jesus' sake, I will seek to excel in this gift of hospitality. For Jesus' sake, and because of his love for me, I will seek to show that love to others. And I'll seek to show Jesus' love for the people I'm being hospitable to. So you do what you do well, even better, because of Jesus. That's character. That's a development beyond just what you were born with, your personality. And if, on the other hand, there's an area you really struggle with, then you focus on that and you work on it. For example, verse 17 says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. But you might by nature find vengefulness comes readily to you. You might find that when someone wrongs you, you want to get your own back. But you know that's a command that you must obey. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge, as verse 19 says. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. You've got to try and respond in a Christ-like way. Remember, Peter says, Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Don't retaliate. So how do you do that? Well, that is something then you focus on. It's a character weakness that you seek to overcome. You seek God's grace, you seek the help of his Spirit, you seek to fill your mind up with what his word teaches, and you will move forward as a result. You will become forgiving, more able to respond without holding a grudge, more able to let wrongs pass with the help of Jesus. That's character. Where your mind overrides your nature, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's So what we're seeing here, just as I bring this to a close, and I hope I'm not over time. My watch says 7 minutes to 9 at the moment. I haven't a clue what the time is. You people in Plockton obviously like longer sermons than Kyle, because in Kyle they've got a clock on the wall. But anyway, just as I close, this is really a plea for us to do what the Christian gospel tells us we must do. Repent and seek God's help in our lives. If we're not yet trusting in Jesus Christ, then we need to repent of ever thinking that just because we're nice, just because we're agreeable, that makes us Christian. A genial personality can appear anywhere in the world, and it does so among all religions and none. Doesn't make you a Christian. You still need Jesus. You still need his salvation, his forgiveness, and his help, so that if you are a genial person, by Jesus' grace, you can be extraordinarily agreeable and friendly, and use that blessed personality in addition to a strongly developed Christian character for the glory of God. If you are a Christian but you find yourself perhaps a bit prickly, a bit unsympathetic, and maybe even you sometimes put people off Jesus as a result, you need to repent of that too. That's your personality perhaps, but you need to seek grace to renew your mind in love and harmony, so that your behaviour, your character, may be transformed. Jesus doesn't want to leave us just as we are when we become Christians. And even if where we are is pretty good already compared to some other people, Jesus can make it better. And if where we are is pretty far down the scale of agreeableness, for example, Jesus can nevertheless make us people who are able to, as far as it depends on us, live at peace with everyone. Because above all things, we want to be able to use our personality and our character. We want to be able to use both what comes naturally to us, that is good, and what we've worked on to develop, that is good, for the sake of Jesus, to know him and to make him known. As Jesus says, he wants people to see his Christian people's deeds. And as a result, be drawn to God. Let your light so shine before men, he says, and women and children, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day when he visits you. So, go beyond your personality and develop Christian character according to what Paul teaches here, so that you may live in harmony with one another and not repay evil for evil, but do what's good in the eyes of everyone and live at peace as far as you can with everyone. May God help us to do these things.